Dear Cheap Astronomy, how automated was the Artemis II mission? Well, a fair bit, since Artemis II was mostly just doing what Artemis I already did, except with crew on board. Nonetheless, Artemis I was very dependent upon human decision-making and commands forwarded by mission control, as was Artemis II, so it's not like the whole thing is being run by AI. And in any case, it doesn't really make sense to critique the crew's active or passive role in the mission, since the whole point of the mission, and indeed the whole Artemis program, is to fly human beings to the moon. So the Artemis II mission would be 100% successful if the crew had just sat there twiddling their thumbs until they splashed down back on Earth, alive and well after 10 days in space. But, needless to say, they didn't actually twiddle their thumbs. Since they were floating in a tin can, far above the world, they understandably took a very active interest in the spacecraft's life support systems, and that's not just the toilet. They were also keenly interested in knowing the spacecraft's position, trajectory, and ongoing capacity to get them back home. Although in these areas their role was relatively passive, perhaps just confirming guidance, navigation, and control data that mission control back on Earth would have received through automated systems anyway. Nonetheless, the crew did actively test a range of flight maneuvers, which later crews will need to manage for real. For example, the proximity operations demonstration on day one of the Artemis II mission, where the crew practiced some not-quite-docking manoeuvres with the ICPS, the Interim Cryogenic Propulsion Stage. Not-quite-docking means they only got within about 10 metres of it, but did so steering manually, assisted by some laser alignment guides. Before we go on, there is a bit of a story to the ICPS. While the Apollo Saturn V rocket had three stages, the Space Launch System does things a bit differently, with its solid core side boosters doing most of the initial lift, then the Space Launch System core stage does the next bit, and then the Interim Cryogenic Propulsion Stage does the last bit, roughly matching the role of the third stage of the Saturn V rocket. Artemis 1 actually used the ICPS for its translunar injection, but Artemis 2 just used the ICPS to get to a higher Earth orbit, where it stayed for most of a day, while the crew did the proximity operations demonstration and a bunch of other tests of the Orion module's life support systems. Details of the future Artemis 3 mission are still to be worked out, but it seems likely it will also use the ICPS to achieve a high Earth orbit and then practice real docking manoeuvres with the Starship Human Landing System. That will probably be the last time we see the ICPS, remembering that it was always called an interim stage. The planned ICPS replacement was initially the EUS, the Exploration Upper Stage, but its development was subsequently cancelled. Current thinking is that this upper stage will now be provided by a private supplier, which adds to the list of things that need to be built and tested before there can be an actual moon landing. But anyway, back to the Artemis II crew. The Orion capsule's hypergolic-fueled thrusters were what managed Artemis II's translunar injection, sending the crew on their way to the moon. Over the whole mission, the crew played an important, though largely passive role in what's known as Avatar, a virtual astronaut tissue analog response, which is essentially a tissue on a chip experiment. Before the mission began, each of the crew donated some cells, which were then placed in liquid-filled channels of a small silicon plastic chip, with the intention of that chip then roughly mimicking real bone marrow. Bone marrow is one of the most radiation-sensitive tissues in the human body, and is usually the first thing to go in the face of a high dose of radiation. The Avatar experiment involved flying the tissue analog chips alongside each corresponding crew member to assess the effect of a 10-day space journey beyond the Earth's magnetosphere on both the isolated cells in the chip and also on whole human beings. Avatar will be mostly about assessing the impact of space radiation, although it will also be a bit about the combined effects of weightlessness and the artificially controlled environment of the Orion capsule. And of course, there is a whole bunch of other stuff the Artemis II crew did over the course of the mission, but to cover all that, we're going to need a Stage 2. Sorry, Part 2.